the fiesta was really started. It kept up day and night for 7 days. The dancing kept up, the drinking kept up, the noise went on. The things that happened could only have happened during a fiesta. Everything became quite unreal finally, and it seemed as though nothing could have any consequences. It seemed out of place to think of consequences during the fiesta. All during the fiesta, you had the feeling, even when it was quiet, that you had to shout any remark to make it heard. It was the same feeling about any action. It was a fiesta, and it went on for 7 days. That afternoon was the big religious procession. San Fermin was translated from one church to another. In the procession were all the dignitaries, civil and religious. We could not see them because the crowd was too great. Ahead of the formal procession and behind it danced the Riau Riau dancers. There was one mass of yellow shirts dancing up and down in the crowd. All we could see of the procession through the closely pressed people that crowded all the side streets and curbs were the great giants, cigar store Indians, 30 feet high, Moors, a king and queen, whirling and waltzing solemnly to the Riau Riau. They were all standing outside the chapel where San Fermin and the dignitaries had passed in, leaving a guard of soldiers, the giants, with the men who danced in them standing beside their resting frames and the dwarfs moving with their whacking bladders through the crowd. We started inside, and there was a smell of incense and people filing back into the church, but Brett was stopped just inside the door because she had no hat, so we went out again and along the street that ran back from the chapel into town. The street was lined on both sides, with people keeping their place at the curb for the return of the procession. Some dancers formed a circle around Brett and started to dance. They wore big wreaths of white garlics around their necks. They took Bill and me by the arms and put us in the circle. Bill started to dance too. They were all chanting. Brett wanted to dance, but they did not want her to. They wanted her as an image to dance around. When the song ended with that sharp riau riau, they rushed us into a wine shop. We stood at the counter. They had Brett seated on a wine cask. It was dark in the wine shop and full of men singing, hard-voiced singing. Back of the counter, they drew the wine from casks. I put down money for the wine, but one of the men picked it up and put it back in my pocket.
"I want a leather wine bottle," Bill said.
"There's a place down the street," I said. "I'll go get a couple." The dancers did not want me to go out. Three of them were sitting on the high wine cask beside Brett, teaching her to drink out of the wineskins. They had hung a wreath of garlics around her neck. Someone insisted on giving her a glass. Someone was teaching Bill a song, singing it in his ear, beating time on Bill's back. I explained to them that I would be back. Outside in the street, I went down the street looking for the shop that made leather wine bottles. The crowd was packed on the sidewalks, and many of the shops were shuttered, and I could not find it. I walked as far as the church, looking on both sides of the street. Then I asked a man, and he took me by the arm and led me to it. The shutters were up, but the door was open. Inside, it smelled of fresh, tanned leather and hot tar. A man was stenciling completed wineskins. They hung from the roof in bunches. He took one down, blew it up, screwed the nozzle tight, and then jumped on it.
"See, it doesn't leak."
"I want another one, too, a big one." He took down a big one that would hold a gallon or more from the roof. He blew it up, his cheeks puffing ahead of the wineskin, and stood on the botta, holding on to a chair.
"What are you going to do? Sell them in Bayona?"
"No, drink out of them." He slapped me on the back.
"Good man. 8 pesetas for the two, the lowest price."
The man who was stenciling the new ones and tossing them into a pile stopped.
is true, he said. 8 pesetas is cheap.